Hello, here we are again with another program. We're in Luke chapter 15. Have your Bible ready if you possibly can. As we've been going through our study in the book of Luke, we have been focusing on three words. Those three words are observation, interpretation, and application. Observation is the process of observing something in order to gain some information. Interpretation has to do with the explaining of the meaning of something, particular words or whatever we might see in a portion of Scripture. And then application has to do with the action of putting something into operation. The Bible says these things are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So there's no sense just studying the Bible, you know, so we have some more head knowledge, but how do we apply this today? Well, we're going to look at chapter 15, and in order to observe what is written here, we're going to read, it's a lengthy portion of Scripture, but let's just observe what we have here. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Well, he gives a parable, first of all, of a lost sheep. And we read in verse number 3, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Well, he's talked about a lost sheep, a shepherd looking for a sheep that is lost. Then in verse 8, he focuses on a woman with a lost coin. So we have a man looking for a sheep, and a woman, it says in verse 8, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Then he talks about two lost sons. Normally we think about this as one lost son. No, two of them are in trouble. He said in verse 11, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And as he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to make merry. Verse 25 says, "Now his elder son was in the field. And he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fattest calf, and because he has received him safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I thee at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.'" Now here we have a very familiar portion of Scripture. Let's look at the context of it all. Let's see if we can figure out the interpretation of what is being said here. Verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now, you remember, a publican were people who were Jewish that were hired by the Romans to collect taxes from the Jews, and these publicans would pad their pockets with extra money, and really they were just—they were like traitors. They were considered worse than prostitutes. They were not allowed anywhere near the temple. They were not allowed in the synagogues. They were publicans and sinners, and they came to hear him. Now, you remember Matthew got saved. He was a publican, and he got saved, and he threw a big banquet for all his publican friends and introduced Jesus to them. And while the publicans and sinners were ready to hear him, we find that this verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Well, you have it in Matthew 9, verse number 10. Publicans and sinners sat down with him, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were all upset. And there's several places through the New Testament where you find that the publicans and the sinners would listen, and the scribes and the Pharisees. We've seen here in verse number 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him," to hear him. Now that Greek word has been translated "hear" 418 times. And to hear something is simply to be aware of the existence of a noise. Then it has been translated "hearken" 6 times, and someone who is going to hearken is going to hear and then do what is being taught. Interestingly enough, it has been translated "give audience" 3 times. Now, what is an audience? It is an assembly of spectators at a public event. We read about Paul in Acts chapter 22. It says they gave him audience unto this word, and then they lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, it is not fit that he should live." So when we're coming to hearing, the Bible says, take care how you hear. Are you just hearing a noise when the preacher preaches? Are you being listening so as to hearken and do what the Bible says? Or are you just part of the great audience there, one who is an assembly of the spectators at a public event? We are all one or the other. Well, in verse 2, we see that the Pharisees and the scribes were murmuring, saying, "He receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them." Well, then in verse number 3, we see that it says here that he spake this parable unto them, those scribes and those Pharisees, those hypocrites. And he says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost?" Well, right away, he's already insulted these Pharisees. What are you talking about? You're talking about a shepherd, that low life stuff? Do you not realize that we are part of the elite? We are scribes. We are Pharisees. We don't have nothing in common with shepherds looking after sheep. We don't do that. No, they don't do that. But Jesus is making a application here that when one, he says, when someone is saved, he said, verse 7, I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, that's an important word, more than 99 just persons who need no repentance. Well, then we have the story of the lost coin, and it's basically the same thing. And then we have the story of a certain man who had two sons. Now, one of them went astray and wasted his substance with riotous living, ended up in the pig pen, and that's the only way he was going to learn. And the Bible says he came to himself. He said, I'm out here fighting with pigs to get some food from the pig pen. I could go home. I'm no more worthy to be his son. But the father came, it says, and when he saw him, he ran and he fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, he would be, to put it mildly, that boy would be a stinking mess. He's been laying around with the pigs. He's not smelling very good. But the father, compassion, he ran, he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Well, we see that's what it means to come to the Lord. You got to realize the mess you're in and realize that in compassion and in mercy, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, the observation is obvious. The interpretation is pretty simple here. What about an application? It says in verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Where do you fit? Are you part of that group that just says, well, yeah, I'm aware of a noise? Or ask yourself, am I doing what I need to do here? Am I being taught? Am I a disciple? Do I really want the truth? Do I hearken to what is being said? Do I have a desire to know what the Word of God has to say? Or am I just one of those spectators in the crowd? Well, then there's the story of the two sons. One son learned the hard way. Some people will not learn any other way. The other son, he didn't learn anything at all. And it's simply a case of choices and consequences. Oh, the one son looked good on the surface, but he had a heart problem. And so we see that by the end of the story, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I hear the other son, just as backslidden as the one in the pig pen, saying, well, yeah, what about me? I've been here all the time. Poor me. Poor me. Where do you fit in? You fit in one of these places. Let the Lord speak, and let's say, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. Well, be sure and tune in for our next broadcast. We'll be looking in Luke chapter 16.